Now, here's the host of your talk show, Tim Bremmel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm going back to my first DJ gig, man. 1982, Pineville, Kentucky. Ray Parker Jr. Awesome. Ray Parker Jr. joins us by telephone this morning. Man, it is an honor to talk to you, sir. Good morning.
Well, thank you. Good morning to you, too.
You are
a lot of fun making those songs. I love that song.
that was one of my favorites, quite honestly. I mean, I know we could have opened with Ghostbusters, because everybody knows Ghostbusters, but that was really, it was the first one of the first tunes I ever spun as a DJ back in my younger years, and we did a lot of top 40 stuff back then, and you were always there. It was you were defying the 80s in a lot of ways as far as music goes. So it's great to have you here, and great to be talking about this documentary, of which you and some other great musicians are featured in, called The Hired Gun. Which
yeah, how about that?
We'll take people back a little bit, and even myself, Ray Parker Jr. that we know of from The Other Woman and Ghostbusters and all the hits you had with radio and all those great songs, was the second half of your career to a large degree. The first half spent in the shadows of other great musicians, and that's what this documentary is about. But maybe you can pick it up from there a little bit and tell us why you were interested in shining the spotlight on these otherwise kind of unsung heroes of the music industry.
Yeah. Well, first of all, ever since I was 13 or 14 years old, I was a hired gun because I played background for the Spinners, Marvin Gaye, Stevie Wonder, Diana Ross, the Osmonds, Carpenters, you name it, Tom Jones. I did it for everybody. And, you know, I'm sympathetic to a lot of these musicians in the movie because you get fired and you get hired. And a lot of times you don't even know you get fired. And so the career you're speaking of with Jack and Jill and all that, that was my attempt at hiring myself and making it so that the only person who would fire me would be myself.
Well, I think it worked out pretty well in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, not too bad. It was a good idea, I'll tell you that.
So one of the interesting things that comes out in this documentary, which is actually, we'll tell people about it here in a bit, but it's out there and it's going to be available, but it is hitting some major theaters across the U.S. for a one-night-only showing, and we'll talk about that. But one of the interesting things about this is that a lot of the performers that we know, yourself included, I guess, probably having worked on both ends of that spectrum, sometimes when you went to see them in concert and the band that was back there, that was not the same guy playing that guitar riff that was actually on the riff when the studio recording was made.
No, most of the time it wasn't. Usually somebody different in the recording studio than on the stage.
And that's really where the title The Hired Gun comes from, is that you hired the best musicians possible to get those studio tracks done,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Exactly.
And for folks that don't know much more than your public persona as a singer and performer, you are a fantastic musician. In fact, if I recall right, a lot of the songs that you made famous were also made famous because you played a lot of the instruments on them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you know, on my records, Jack and Jill and stuff like that, I actually had to play all the instruments. And it wasn't because I thought I was such a great musician, I could play everything. I just didn't have any money, and wasn't nobody else around at the time. You know, so can't be making those excuses. Why is your demo tape ready? I was waiting on the drummer to come over. I was waiting on the engineer. You know, you just got to get it done.
Well, what was it like working behind the stage as you were, you know, as you were coming up into becoming a great recording artist yourself? Behind Stevie Wonder, The Temptations, Gladys Knight and the Pips, all these people that you were either writing for or performing for?
I think it was just one of the best times of my life. I had so much fun working with everybody, and I learned so much. You know, if you're in the studio with all these people and you watch the best of the best record, in my opinion, I picked up a couple of good tricks that I thought I could use in my own career. So at that point, I thought, man, I think I can do this.
Well, that was obvious. You have to tell people, I know you relate it in the documentary, but you have to tell people the story of how Ghostbusters happened in your life.
Well, I had been working, I did all the Barry White records, and the guy that worked his publishing was a guy named Gary LaMille, and he ended up being the vice president of Columbia Pictures. And so he called me up and thought that I was the right guy, the right, you know, with the right humor and the right demeanor to write this theme song. And I didn't actually think he was right in the beginning, but he turned out he knew what he was talking about. So they gave me about three days to finish the song and get it done. And then I had to turn it in. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, this should be pretty easy. Right up until Ivan Reitman says, yeah, but I want the words Ghostbusters in the actual song. And that was an impossible word to sing. I mean, it's not fair now because you've already heard me do
right.
it. But, you know, trying to sing Ghostbusters, Ghostbusters, I mean, just, it really doesn't sing well. And so I had to relate back to a part of the film where they had the phone number under the four guys standing up with the backpacks. And if you look at that, to me, they look like, you know, they look like drain cleaners or they look like insect repelling guys. And then I thought to myself, that's it. It's got to be like a commercial. Who you going to call? And I'll never say Ghostbusters. I just let the girls say Ghostbusters.
Well, it turned out to be a huge...
That was the best idea I'd ever had.
It was. It worked out really well. The Hired Gun documentary, as documentaries are filmed a lot of times, I know sometimes folks aren't in the same room and never even meet each other, but it features, man, just a litany of talent. Alice Cooper, Rob Zombie, Jason Hook. I don't have the full list in front of me. Yourself, obviously.
All of Billy Joel's band. I know they're there.
Yeah.
Kenny Aronoff. I mean, there's just a lot of people.
So,
Bill X, that played the Bon Jovi now. I mean, just a lot of people.
And these are guys that now, you know, a lot of the names are familiar because they sort of cracked that Hired Gun ceiling, if you will. So this is an attempt to kind of also, I guess, set the stage for a little more recognition for current and future Hired Guns, is it not?
Well, it's definitely an education for my kids. My two sons, they want to play music, you know, and I told them this movie is a must-see. I think I made them watch it twice now. Because, you know, they need to learn the ins and outs and see what it's really, really like. It's not just partying and playing music and having fun. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes on in this business.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, it's exciting. We know it is coming to Madison, where we are. And I had the list up here. It's coming to the Point Cinema 16 on Big Sky Drive in Madison. So people can check it out there. And I'm going to assume that it's also going to be available on DVD release and those kinds of places. Is that true?
Absolutely.
So people can find
it. I can't wait to get my copy so I can blast it up loud on my screen.
There is a lot of good music in it, too. You're absolutely right. You know, as we're talking with the various guns, boy, there's some great guitar playing. There's some great music in there. And I think people will also be shocked to find out how many of these people, the names that they recognize, were behind songs that they had no idea they were behind.
Yeah. Like, you know, people think of Steve Lukather, they think Toto, but wait till they find out he played behind Michael Jackson's Beat It. That's him playing all the Beat It.
Yeah, that was one of the most fascinating things that I learned. It was great stuff. Well, hey, it is great to talk with you. It is great to see you kind of spreading the wealth of notoriety a little bit in that business, and we appreciate you taking the time to speak with us this morning.
Well, thank you too much. I'm having fun.
All right, great. Good to hear it. Keep having fun. Keep providing us with fun, too. We really appreciate it. Ray Parker Jr., ladies and gentlemen.